الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين. Hajj is one of the most important matters of Al-Islam. As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, بني الإسلام على خمس. And he counted as one of them to perform Hajj once in your lifetime if you can afford it. وحج البيت لمن استطاع إليه سبيلا. So if you are intending to perform this great act of worship, you have to know the rules of Hajj and Umrah to ensure that your Hajj and Umrah is according to the methodology, Hadi, of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Hajj holds a great merit in Al-Islam. As the one who performs a mabrur Hajj, his sins will be forgiven, whether major or minor. So it's a great ni'mah from Allah Ta'ala that Hajj wipes all the sins, the great sins, the major sins, or the minor sins. However, if you did something that relates to the rights of the human beings, then you have to seek the forgiveness of that man in order for your sin to be completely erased. Like for instance, if someone stole money from others and he performed Hajj, he repented to Allah Azza wa Jal, he performed Hajj, but he did not return the stolen goods to its owners. In this case, Hajj will erase, will wipe all the sins, but however the rights that are due on him to the others must be satisfied. So he should return the stolen goods to its owners and the like. Before we carry on with the integrals of Hajj, inshallah, I would like to explain to you first about the three types of Hajj. Let us see what are they. Types of Hajj. The first is Al-Ifrad, which is to perform Hajj followed by Umrah. Number two is Tamattu', to perform Umrah followed by Hajj. And finally, the third, Qiran, to perform Hajj and Umrah together. These are the differences between the three types. Doing Ifrad is to perform Hajj first, and when you complete your Hajj, then you do the Umrah followed by Umrah. The second type is to do Umrah at the time of Hajj, during the season of Hajj, followed by Hajj. So Umrah followed by Hajj. And the third type is Al-Qiran, which is to do both of them at the same time. So the intention, whenever you want to do Qiran, then you have to have the intention of performing Hajj and Umrah together. The second type, which is Tamattu', you have to have the intention of performing Umrah first, and when you finish it, then you start engaging in the acts of Hajj. And the third type, which is Al-Ifrad, to have the intention of performing Hajj first, and then when you finish it, then you start doing the Umrah. The first type, which is Al-Ifrad, it is not an obligation on you to slaughter a sheep upon performing Ifrad. So the first type does not entail slaughtering a sheep. However, the second and the third becomes an obligation upon you if you are going to perform Tamattu' or Qiran, then you have to slaughter a sheep. Which one is better? There are different sayings in this regard. Imam Shafi'i performed Al-Hajj number of times, and he preferred to do Ifrad. So according to Imam Shafi'i, Al-Ifrad is better than performing Qiran and performing Tamattu'. How many times the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed Hajj? He performed Hajj once in his lifetime. The Prophet performed 4 Umrahs and 1 single Hajj. This is called Hajjatul Wada', the final Hajj the Prophet performed, which is also the first and the last. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed Hajj once only in his lifetime and performed 4 Umrahs in his lifetime. Let us talk about the integrals of Hajj. They are those parts of Hajj which, if left out, cannot be compensated for by slaughtering. The integrals which we are going to mention are parts of Hajj which, if one of them was not performed, then the Hajj is going to be incomplete until you complete it all. If person who performed Hajj did not perform the integrals accordingly, the right way, his Hajj is not going to be valid. And this renders the Hajj as non-mabrur for lacking of integrals. Did not perform the integrals. So they are important to know in order to establish a sound Hajj. So the integrals, al-arkan, are those parts of Hajj which, if left out, such as circumambulating the Kaaba, going around the Kaaba, tawaf al-ifada, if left out, cannot be compensated for by slaughtering. If a person did not perform tawaf al-ifada, or he did not perform the obligatory sa'i, or he did not go to Arafat, his Hajj is not going to be valid for lacking of such integrals. Even if he slaughtered a sheep or 100 sheep, it does not compensate for the loss of that integral. The first integral is to have intention to be in the state of Hajj, which is called Ihram or Umrah. So for instance, if you are going to perform Umrah, then you have to have the intention in your heart to be in the state of Ihram, whether you are performing Hajj or Umrah. This is called Ihram. To say in one's heart, I now enter into the actions of Hajj or Umrah. You do not have to utter such words. Only have the intention in your heart to perform Hajj or Umrah, depending on the type of Hajj you are going to perform, whether Qiran or Tamattu' or Ifrad. The second integral is to be at Arafah, sometime between the start of Dhuhr on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah and the dawn of the following Eid day. So the time of Arafah is limited, is short. It is less than 24 hours, starting from the Dhuhr time of the 9th of Dhul Hijjah until the Fajr of the following day, which is the Fajr of the day of Eid al-Adha. It's only a couple of hours. So you have to be at Arafat, you have to be present at Arafat sometime in between. Even if you stayed for a moment, this will suffice. However, the sunnah is to remain at Arafat until sunset, until Maghrib time. This is when you leave Arafat after sunset, going to Muzdalifah, the second station. But in terms of integral, if you remained for a short time between the Dhuhr of the 9th of Dhul Hijjah and the dawn of the Eid day, for a short time, this will suffice. This is the land of Arafat. As you can see, there are big, huge signs marking the beginning and end of Arafat site. As you can see, millions of people will be assembled over there. And there are huge signs marking the beginning and the end of Arafat site. So it's not a mountain, it is a site called Arafat, a huge site with no buildings, only tents. You have to be there just sometime between the Dhuhr and the Fajr of the Eid day. There is a famous mount in Arafat called Jabal al-Rahma, the Mount of Mercy in Arafat. You can see this white shrine on top of the mountain. It's not a big mountain. It is not an obligation to go there. However, the Prophet ﷺ stood next to the huge rocks that are at the bottom of this mountain. This is a sunnah. You do not have to climb the mountain to reach to that white shrine. So it is called Jabal al-Rahma. It is in Arafat, and it is not a condition that you go there and to stay over there. As long as you stayed within the site of Arafat, within the borders of Arafat, sometime between the Dhuhr of the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah and the Fajr of the following day, which is the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, Eid al-Adha day. To stay in Arafat is one of the important matters as well, and it is the most important integral of Al-Hajj. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Hajj Arafah. The meaning of that is Arafat is the most important integral of Al-Hajj, because the time of it is really limited. That is why it is very important to be at Arafat. If you did not go to Arafat, if you did not stay in Arafat for that specific time, which we mentioned before, your Hajj is going to be incomplete. If you missed it, if you missed going to Arafat during that specified time, then your Hajj is going to be invalid Hajj. You missed it out. The third integral is to circumambulate the Kaaba, which is making tawaf around the Kaaba. One circles the perimeter of the Kaaba 7 times with one's left shoulder to the Kaaba. So in fact, you are going anti-clockwise. Circumambulating the Kaaba, starting from Al-Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone, to Al-Hajar al-Aswad, this is one full lap. Then you have to do it 7 times exactly. So if you started, for instance, at a point which you passed Al-Hajar al-Aswad, such a lap is incomplete, so it is not counted. When you reach the black stone, from that point you start counting the lap. So one full lap from the black stone to the black stone, and so on, you do it 7 times. Do not add an extra lap. Do it exactly as 7. The same as in the prayer, you do not add an extra rak'ah to Maghrib prayer or Dhuhr or Asr and the like. So you have to do it 7 times. 7 laps going around the Kaaba. Going anti-clockwise, like everyone else, you're not going against the traffic, definitely. So it is not easy to forget and to do it clockwise motion, because everyone is going against you. So just follow the stream of Muslims going around the Kaaba 7 times. This is an illustration for the Kaaba, the black stone, which is located in one of the corners of the Kaaba. Then the door of the Kaaba, then the Mizab, which is the downpipe, Ash-Shadharwan, which is the base of the Kaaba, Hijr Ismail, it's like half a circle, Al-Multazam, which is the area between the black stone and the door of the Kaaba, Maqam of Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, This is a stone that Prophet Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام stood on when he was building the Kaaba. He stood on that rock and it was like an elevator. So he laid the first rows when he was building the Kaaba, rebuilding the Kaaba. And then by the will of Allah, when he stood on that stone, it became like an elevator. It elevated him to enable him to lay the other rows of brick. And so on until he completed the building of the Kaaba. The Kaaba first was built by Prophet Adam alayhi salam, but it was destroyed during the flood that took place at Prophet Nuh's time alayhi salam. Prophet Ibrahim rebuilt the Kaaba after getting destroyed with the assistance of his son Ismail alayhi salam, who was a prophet as well. Maqam of Prophet Ibrahim, then the black stone corner, Yemeni corner, which is facing the country of Yemen. It is called the Yemeni corner. Ash-Shami corner, this corner is facing the countries of Ash-Sham, which are four: Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, and Jordan. Iraqi corner, facing the country of Iraq, and finally the Kaaba cloth, which is made of pure silk. It is costly. The factory, they normally do only one cloth or two cloth a year. They normally do one to be spare in case if the first get burnt, for instance, so they have a replacement. So every year they do two cloth of the Kaaba. It is costly, costing them millions of dollars. It's made of pure silk. It's all handcrafted. And they also use some gold lines. Number seven, this is the maqam of Prophet Ibrahim, as we mentioned. This is another photo showing you the maqam of Prophet Ibrahim. As you can see, the footsteps of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's sealed with copper. And this is the maqam from the outside. So the stone is inside, is located inside. So this is, you can see it, you can see the footsteps of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, clearly marked on the stone. And this is Al-Hajar Al-Aswad. Al-Hajar Al-Aswad is one of the Hijara stones of paradise. Originally, it descends from paradise. It used to be a gem, like a pearl, glowing and shining. It used to cover, the lights used to cover between east and west. But as the mushriks, those who associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly used to rub over it, it turned into black color. Instead of being shiny and bright, it faded out and became black. So it's called now the black stone. It is not an obligation to kiss the black stone. However, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam kissed it as he was performing tawaf. It is not a must. It is not an obligation. And by the way, it is not easy to reach it. It's so difficult, extremely difficult to reach Al-Hajar Al-Aswad. Some people unfortunately fighting others while doing the tawaf in order to kiss the black stone. And they are kicking and hitting others in order to just get to the black stone, which is not an obligation, as I said. Harming Muslims is haram, whether you are performing tawaf or not. It's a sinful act. So avoid doing it, because it is sinful to do so. If you can reach it, reach the black stone, and kiss it, do it. Otherwise, you are not obligated to do it. So this is a black stone. You can see a silver frame made for it. The black stone is inside. You can see. It's like marble. This is the Holy Kaaba. They normally dress it once a year. They replace the cloth, the dress, once every year. They are doing it normally on the day of Arafat. When everyone goes to Arafat, this is when they are replacing it. If you want to see how they replace it, you can go to the Kaaba on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah in the morning after Fajr, and then you can see the procedure. By the way, this is the 11th building. So the Kaaba throughout the years was destroyed number of times and rebuilt. So this is building number 11. After performing at-tawaf, then you have to do the sa'i, which is to walk between the mounts of al-Safa and al-Marwa 7 times from one borderline to the other. It's called sa'i. And the distance between al-Safa and al-Marwa is about 400 meters. So you have to cross it 7 times, which means 2,800 meters, close to 3 kilometers. You have to cross the distance between al-Safa and al-Marwa, starting from al-Safa and ending at al-Marwa. From Safa to Marwa, this is once. From Marwa to Safa, two, and so on. You start doing it from al-Safa and you end up in doing at al-Marwa. There are levels, underground level, the ground level, then level 1 and level 2. You can make it in any level, as long as within the border. Some people nowadays, unfortunately, they are making it outside the border, and their sa'i is totally invalid. So you have to be careful. The width of that path, which is between Safa and Al-Marwa, is about 17 meters, the width of it. Now if you look at the photo, you will see that it is bigger than 17 meters, wider than 17 meters. Unfortunately, there is a distance which they add to it, does not belong to the actual path of As-Sa'i, Al-Mas'a. It is outside the borders. They added an area to that path in order to enable people to make sa'i, so that Mas'at can take more people. But unfortunately, they added an extra area which is outside the border and claimed that it is among the borders of Al-Safa and Al-Marwa, which is not. So you have to be careful. You have to know what you do over there. This is Al-Mas'a, walking between Al-Safa and Al-Marwa. Look at that. This is the old photo of Al-Mas'a. You can see the difference between the old and the new version. Or look at that. This is only one way. Look at the old photo, two ways. It's a big difference. This is only one way. This is two ways. Look. So they made it wider, but they added an extra area which does not belong to the Mas'a. They added it, claiming that it is part of it. And In fact, it is not part of it. And you can see the process. Look, the construction site that took place a few years ago. Look at that. It was completely outside the borders of the mosque. So that area was outside. They added this area and they made it all now under one shelter. Then cutting the hair by shaving or trimming, it's called al-halq or taqsir. This happens by shaving at least 3 hairs or by trimming them or the like. Cutting the hair for both males and females. However, shaving is only exclusive to males. Women are not allowed to shave, only to trim or at least to cut 3 hairs or pulling them out and the like. So at least 3 hairs must be trimmed or shaved and the like. Shaving for men is better than trimming, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for those who shave 3 times, and he only made dua once for those who trim. So shaving is better than trimming. When you finish your Hajj, you have to shave or trim. And also when you finish your Umrah, you have to do the same. So it is an integral in performing Umrah and integral in performing Hajj as well, to shave or to trim. Then the last of the integrals is observing the order in most of the integrals. One must establish the intention before performing any other integral. One must delay performing tawaf and shaving or trimming the hair until after being at Arafat. So going the Arafat first, followed by performing the tawaf and shaving or trimming. That is why observing the order in most of the integrals is an integral by itself. Let us talk about the requisites of Hajj. It is called wajibat. Those obligatory actions which must be performed for Hajj. However, unlike the integral, leaving out a requisite does not invalidate Hajj. Rather, the person is sinful and an expiation is due on him, which is called the kaffara. This is called Masjid al-Miqat, Miqat Mosque. Currently, it is called Abar Ali. So this is the Miqat Mosque. The Miqat is the site which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified as a starting point for the Ihram. And there are a number of Mawaqit, not only one, there are 5. So look at that. This is called Miqats, Dhul Hulayfa, Dhat Irq, Qarn al-Manazil, Yalamlam, and Al-Juhfa. So it depends from which country are you coming from. If you're coming from Iraq, from Yemen, from Syria, Palestine, Jordan, from Egypt, there are a number of sites called Al-Mawaqit as a starting site. Number one, which was Dhul Hulayfa, this is the most famous miqat, as most of the people who go to Medina will start their Hajj point at Abar Ali, Dhul Hulayfa. Establishing the intention of Ihram before crossing the miqat. The miqat is the place which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified as the starting site of the intention of Ihram, such as the land called Abar Ali for the people of Al-Madinah and those who take the same route to Mecca. So if you go to Medina first, then you're going to Mecca, you have to have the Ihram at that point. Miqat Ahl al-Sham, which is called Dhul Hulayfa, Abar Ali. It is a wajib to do so. If you cross the miqat without having the intention, while you want to perform Hajj and Umrah, you will be sinful for doing so. Staying at night in Muzdalifah, this means that one has to be present, standing, sitting, or sleeping in Muzdalifah after midnight of the Eid's Eve, even for a moment. According to a second saying, staying in Muzdalifah is a recommended matter, but not a requisite. To stay at night in Mina, which is to spend most of the eve of the first and the second day of Tashriq, which are the 11th and the 12th of Dhul Hijjah. They are called Ayyam al-Tashriq. There are 3 days of Tashriq, 11th, 12th, and 13th of Dhul Hijjah. They are called Ayyam al-Tashriq. If one leaves Mina before the sunset of the second day, this staying is Sunnah, according to another saying of Imam al-Shafi'i. There are two different sayings of Imam al-Shafi'i. Once he considered such a stay as wajib, and in another say it is a Sunnah. This is Al-Khayf Mosque in Mina. Mina, by the way, is a big city, and you can see thousands of tents are there. The Hujjaj will stay for only a number of nights over there, mainly 2 nights. They might be staying in Mina the day of At-Tarwiyah, which is the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. Then they move from Mina to Arafat on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, and then they return to Mina on the Eid day, staying overnight, then the following day, then another night, then the following day, and then they exit Mina. This is a map showing you Mecca, Mina, Muzdalifah, and Arafat. This is another photo showing you thousands of tents over there. Another photo, this is showing you the throwing the pebbles at the three jamras. It's a big place. Throwing pebbles at Jamratul Aqaba during the Eid day, to throw 7 pebbles at it, the time of the throwing starts after midnight of the Eid's Eve and extends until the sunset of the last day of At-Tashriq. And by the way, you have to know the rules of throwing. Normally the Hajj will throw 70 pebbles. 7 pebbles on the day of Eid. Then on the second day, which is the first day of Tashriq, 11th of Dhul Hijjah, 21. 7 at the smallest Jamra. Then 7 at the medium one. And 7 at the largest one. And then the following day you do the same, 21, 7, 7, 7. And the following day, another 21, 7, 7, and 7. Totaling 70 pebbles. There is another way you can do, is by throwing 49 instead of 70. And by the way, also, you have to know what are the rules. Are you obligated to throw 49 or 70? It depends. If you delayed, if you postponed throwing the Jamarat on time, for instance, on the day of Eid, you have to throw 7 pebbles at the biggest Jamra. It is called Jamrat al-Aqaba. If you did not do it on the day of Eid, you may defer it until the third day of Tashriq. So bear in mind, if you deferred it, these 7 pebbles to be thrown on the third day of Tashriq. Now, the second day of Eid, which is the 11th of Dhul Hijjah, you have to throw 21. If you deferred it also, you may be deferring it to the third day of Tashriq. So 7 and 21, 28. Then the second day of Tashriq, you may defer throwing it to the third day. If you did so, then you have to throw the following day. The second method If you threw 7 pebbles on the day of Eid, followed by 21 on the second day, 28, followed by another 21 on the second day of At-Tashriq, totaling 49, and then you depart Mina before Maghrib. By doing so, you do not have to throw the extra 21 pebbles on the third day. So you have one of two options, whether to throw 49 or whether to throw 70, taking into consideration the explanation which I just mentioned. Throwing pebbles at Jamratul Aqaba during the Eid day is a requisite. Look at that. This is the place of Al-Jamarat. It's a big, huge pool which you throw the pebbles there. And there are also levels, number of levels. You can make it in the ground level, the second, the third, and so on. And they made it in a design. It's like a big funnel. When you throw the pebbles, they all go down to the original pool. If you went to the second level, the third level, and you threw it, the pebbles will go down by the funnel to the original pool, which is located in the ground floor. This is the bridge taking you to the highest level, and so on. And there are huge signs marking each jamra. Throwing pebbles at the three jamras during the three tashriq days, one is obligated to throw 7 pebbles at each station every day of tashriq. You have to make it one by one. It is invalid to throw the whole 7 at once. You have to make it one by one. And it is called throwing. It's not like placing. You have to throw. Only by throwing pebbles. The size of it is really tiny and small. It's almost smaller than the size of the broad bean, like habbat al-ful, or the chickpeas, hummus. It's just bigger than in size of the chickpea. Smaller than habbat al-ful and bigger than habbat al-hummus. Just in between. Small in size. If you throw a larger size, it will suffice as well. But the sunnah is the size which I mentioned. Unfortunately, some people, they might throw something else, like throwing shoes and umbrellas and empty water bottles and the like. The sunnah is to throw 7 pebbles. And the wisdom behind it is we are imitating Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. We are following his footsteps alayhi salam. This is in compliance with what Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did. He was in Mina when Allah Ta'ala ordered him to slaughter his son Ismail. As he was walking, Iblis the cursed appeared before him and he tried to drive him away from performing what Allah Ta'ala had ordered him. He tried to whisper to him, but you know that the prophets are protected from the whispers of Iblis. So Iblis appeared before Prophet Ibrahim, trying to whisper to him. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam threw 7 pebbles at him. Then Iblis reappeared again, and once again Prophet Ibrahim threw another 7 pebbles at him. And then he reappeared again the third time, and then Prophet Ibrahim threw 7 pebbles one more time, 21, totaling 21 pebbles. So as if now we are imitating what Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did, as if we are saying to Iblis, we are disobeying you the same way Prophet Ibrahim did. So it is not a residence of Iblis over there and you are going attacking him. This is not the case. Iblis does not reside there. He does not live there. It's only a symbol for disobeying Iblis, the cursed. And finally, performing the farewell tawaf, which is the final tawaf, one has to perform it after leaving Mina, whether on the second day of Tashriq before sunset, or on the third day of Tashriq before returning to one's hometown. According to another saying, this tawaf is sunnah. So this is the final thing you do in Mecca before leaving Mecca. Even before last minute shopping, you have to leave Mecca by performing tawaf al-wada', the farewell tawaf. You perform it and you leave Mecca. Don't shop around again after performing tawaf al-wada', or don't go to the hotel and sleep. It is called tawaf al-wada'. If you did so, then you have to repeat tawaf al-wada' one more time. So that is why you have to perform it, and you know when you should do so. Farewell tawaf. If you did not do the aforementioned requisites, wajib, what is the consequence? Inshallah, we'll be talking about it next episode, inshallah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa ahkam, and Allah ta'ala knows best.